With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the War Room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 158. We're getting up there. The box office report for the week ending February 7th, 2016.
Are you talking about the episodes or your guys' age?
Well, we're all getting up.
Yeah, we're all up.
Yeah.
Do I have to explain time again?
Okay. Not to me.
We all age at the same rate.
Yeah, but we're not getting up there.
Some of us had a head start.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting there.
Slowly.
You're always getting up there.
Well, up there, maybe it's all relative. You consider up there maybe differently than we do.
Yeah, they've had like a 50-year head start on them.
Zang. Well, okay. Somebody needs to explain all these movies to you that were black and white.
True. Yeah, right.
So. Talkies. So I guess we'll go around the room first and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I just had to reboot my computer, so I will stall while I do my shameless plugs.
Sure.
and it's like, and I have a new computer with Windows 10, so I don't know where the hell they keep anything on this thing. I need
to keep asking me to update mine. I was like, nope.
I bought a new computer, so it just came with it. So not to show off.
Ooh, new computer.
Mr. Fancy new computer.
Joe's still on his iMac, the color ones that they used to have at elementary school.
Mine is like, I have to use like a pull string. It's like...
You're just powered by a gas generator.
I just got...
In the back of it.
Well, we're the old guys, Dan and I. I'm still getting a handle about around Windows 95.
Yeah.
I'm still starting
up. Did you get up to 14.4 on your modem yet?
Yeah.
Somebody posted like that noise, and I forgot where it's just like, come on, come on, come on. Yay, I'm connected. Yeah,
and then, Joe, I'm trying to make a phone call. Can you get off the phone?
I'm so close to seeing Alyssa Milano's boob.
When you get there, your DSL splitter.
Yes.
So it wouldn't get kicked off.
We had to have two phone lines.
That was like that's what the rich people do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I was just happy to have my DSL splitter. So shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on iTunes, so you can go there and rate and review us. We haven't had one in a while, so you should do that. If you haven't done it yet, what a wonderful opportunity for you.
Yeah.
What a lucky person you are.
No time like the present.
Yeah. So you can go there.
We've run out of friends and family.
Yes. Well, we got up to like 94, so that's a lot more friends and family than I would have thought.
Yeah, I was going to say at 5, I thought we were pretty much all
out.
Yeah.
You got to get us to 100 by like next week. That's the plan.
Is that the plan?
Yeah.
It's your plan.
My plan. It's
not there.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. So also don't forget that you can find us on social media at Real Spoilers on Review S or Review S.
Yeah.
You can email us. We'll do it that way at realspoilers@reviewstl.com. You can find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on the Facebook at thefacebook.com/realspoilers, which, yes, will work. It will.
Really?
It was originally called. Yeah, he keeps everything.
I guess that's true. Why would you get rid of
that? You can also go to fb.com. That works too.
They all links. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice. This Facebook is. I never. Actually, it's so
Zuckerberg
weird. I don't
wasn't
even
going to let. What was that guy? Matt? Was that the guy from MySpace? Who was the guy from MySpace?
Tom.
Zuckerberg's not going to let Tom come in and buy up thefacebook.com and have it all redirect to him.
Yeah.
Wait, was he in. He wasn't in the movie, was he? They didn't even mention him in The Social Network, right?
Oh, Tom?
Yeah.
No.
But it was. Who was Justin Timberlake?
Oh,
he
that
was Sean Fanning.
Napster.
Oh,
he was
Napster that's guy. What it was. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He loved. Hey, by the way, the Facebook just. Facebook.
Yeah. Tom was the guy working at the Starbucks that they passed and they get a coffee from.
And it was the actual Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He was actually he was starring. Like, he had to get some money somehow.
So you can go to Facebook. And while you're there, you could share the show. You could join our League of Show Sharers. So, like.
Oh,
that was a nice segue. Mm-hmm. Like Librarian Cynthia. Or, hang on. Ooh. I've been saying it wrong.
She did correct you.
She corrected politely.
Yes.
But I was saying, Linnea? And she sent me a thing. I couldn't get the speakers on my new computer to work. Every time I hit the speaker button, it just made it full screen. So I don't know what that means.
Yay, Windows 10.
Lord. Yeah, yay, Windows 10. So hang on. Let me hit the speaker button. I rebooted it, see if that fixes it. Hey, it did. So, okay. Let me turn the speaker back off so I don't make noise during the show. You don't want to hear my Candy Crush game going on. So,
yes, it's Candy Crush.
Yes.
Yes.
It's, I would pick something manly if I was really.
Yeah. He doesn't want anyone to know he's actually checking the scores of the sports games.
Yeah,
so he's
covering up with Candy Crush. Sportsgamescores.org. So, she says, hey guys, I'm glad you dig my name. It's actually pronounced Linnea.
There we go.
Linnea. Sound like I'm saying that right? Yeah. I didn't listen to her video. She sent a video.
Oh, she did?
That actually shows you or tells
you. Just play it.
How to say her name. Well, now that I guess I can now that I
have speakers.
Now that I have speakers. Hang on. Let me.
Like Linnea Quigley, who I may bring up later.
Look at,
in our recovery.
Tom. Oh, already, okay. Tom's already spoiling.
Pecan?
Haven't even gotten to the main episode yet.
Okay, here we go.
Linnea.
There it is.
Linnea.
There it is.
That was riveting, wasn't it?
That, yeah. That's
Linnea.
I wonder. I wonder if they have one for Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. So thanks, Linnea.
Yeah.
And please wrap your head around the fact that this is probably the only time I will say your name right. Next week, I'll probably go back to Linnea. I'm bad about that. So I still call him Kevin. Every week. So that's why I have them introduce themselves.
Yeah. We don't want to screw it up.
Yeah. So anyway, other people that shared the show this week: Timmy Two Zunes, Travis Tewitt, Lane Levanway, Chris Sanders, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Brent Smith. I'm getting nervous about Disneyland Matt.
I'm kind of worried now.
Yeah, I think
he's part of the new expansion they're building. Maybe he's in the he's in the bunker working on that.
Working on an Avatar floating mountain.
I was thinking more of the Star Wars thing. I don't want to think about Avatar.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe he's going to try to kidnap all the Marvel characters from Universal and bring them back home.
Well, they could do it at Disneyland.
Keep the ones that are actually occupying. Have you seen them? They're terrible. They ride around on like.
You want to go in there and you want to do like a
four-wheelers, and it's just like, no.
I don't dare bring up canon after the arguments that ensued on a Facebook page about canon this week. But
are you talking about old Zacky Snides?
Why do I say that?
What is he trying to achieve?
I don't know.
He's 2 for 2 on the douche meter.
Yeah,
between that and the t-shirt,
he said if you didn't like Man of Steel, then apparently you don't know comics or something.
You're not
like
a
that.
Real fan.
You're not a real fan.
And it's like, and I guess he's like, you know, he follows canon. I'm like, so I said to Tom and Kevin, I was like, you mean the canon where he can't fly, or the canon where he is, you know, the man of the people, or where he's a being made of energy, or where he's this or this. And it's like, if you, like, you're making your own canon, and that's fine.
Yeah, right.
Just own it.
Own it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you've taken things.
Sure.
That's true. Or the canon where Jonathan Kent is like, no, you should be Superman, and you're going to be okay, and we're going to get you through this.
Yeah.
Or the other one where he's like, nah, you should have let those kids die.
Top secret.
Hey, snapping necks and cashing checks.
That's, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a very dumb, like, of all the things to say right before probably the biggest movie of your career is about to come out, and
it's not going to make any
difference.
They've
got an interesting.
No, well, I know, but it's just like,
it's just like sort of counter programming. It's like that and those t-shirts that
those
t-shirts that
start Jason Momoa would sign stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I guess when that initial image of him came out, they were like, you know, people had stills and he was signing F Marvel. Now, Jason Momoa kind of seems like that guy
who
would sign that.
But yeah, that's so stupid for them to wear those shirts.
But then,
the
pictures came out of Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck wearing their respective characters with middle fingers sticking up saying, you know, F Marvel. And it's just kind of like,
it is.
You know
weird.
What? If you guys were making better movies, I would say fine.
Right.
But you are so far behind Marvel at this point. Like, you should probably just stop.
Well, that and the fact that it just smacked of a PR hack handing them the t-shirts.
Yeah, right.
We need you guys to wear these. Like, you wear yours on Thursday and Ben yeah. wears yours oh, on Saturday.
Yeah, it's so contrived.
Or you know
it's
what? You just... wear. You have Ben Affleck wearing an I Heart Superman shirt or Henry Cavill wearing an I Heart Batman was just, shirt. Yeah. Like, that's okay. But not yeah, the other way around.
Like, I get Henry Cavill because he's just not a big enough name. But Affleck is. Affleck
yeah,
should have been
no
like,
reason for that.
No, no. Not doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, stupid.
We'll Especially say. Because... it puts them in a bad position where, you know, it's a small community, Hollywood, and at some point that Marvel might want them to play a character, and now they've kind of burned a bridge. Yeah. And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to.
Don't want to burn that bridge. Yeah. Unless you're Ryan Reynolds.
And
when Ryan Reynolds does not
after
care.
After the fact.
But in all fairness.
But he burned it retroactively.
Yeah, like he realized
but,
he made
but he
it
turned around
movie.
And he's like, well, I'm probably not going to do this again. Here you go. Well,
and the other thing, keep in mind, is you're not just burning, potentially burning a bridge with Marvel.
But Disney.
You're potentially burning a bridge with Disney.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
And at this point in their market, like they're the biggest bridge that exists. Because
you can make the
right
argument
now.
Of like, okay, if you played Batman or Superman, they're probably not going to hire you to play a Marvel character.
Right.
That's
right.
too high profile of a character to bring you in and play a different character.
Right.
You know? So I could see that logic, but you know,
say you want to direct a Star Wars movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Or any you know, anything that Disney has their hand in. No, never mind.
Bad move.
So,
really so anyway, I guess we should turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. Kung Fu Panda 3. I didn't realize this. I thought it was bumped, but it actually made number one for the second week in a row. Kung Fu Panda 3 brought in $21.5 million, a 48% drop in week two. So that's now up to $69.5 million, and it's got another $82 million foreign already.
That's
so
bad.
DreamWorks does pretty good business overseas.
Yeah.
So that one is up to over $140 million worldwide at this point, and still don't have a budget on it, but I don't know. Any guesses on a
50?
No. It's too big.
Yeah, they're a little higher, but maybe
a third movie.
Maybe 100?
Yeah, I'm thinking they might have done it, figure out a way to do it cheaper. Maybe it's, especially with the time of year release, I'm thinking maybe in that, maybe they pulled it off in that 80 to 90 range, you know?
Do they have, does DreamWorks have any other animated features like in their library, or is it just is
How to Train Your Dragon?
Oh, Shrek. That's what it is. Yeah, but they don't make those anymore. Like I mean, like,
give it
like
time.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, How to Train Your Dragon is their big one.
Yeah,
which the second one didn't do as well
which is
as
weird,
they hoped.
The movie was awesome.
And Shark Tale, Monsters and Aliens. That was them.
Was Monsters and Aliens the Reese Witherspoon Seth Rogen?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
they only did one of those, right?
I think they did some shorts. Yeah, I think there's some. Or did they have a Netflix cartoon?
They
or
did.
Something?
Okay, they did have something on Netflix. I think. Okay, I mean, they're the only ones that seem to have to give Pixar and Disney any.
Yeah.
Real
they're the number two contender for sure. Okay. I mean, it's not Blue Sky or whatever. I mean, as far as the quality stuff, they make money. Yeah, Norm of the North is not a contender against Pixar, but I just saw a thing that said...
According to Wikipedia, which we all know is never wrong,
right.
The budget was $145 million.
$145 million. Oh, wow. I mean, it's a third.
It's all craft services for Jack Black.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of names in this movie. And, you know, I mean, kids' movies obviously try to get the celebrity names up there. And this one, though, is, you know, one of those that has like 10, 12 names.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
always
poster.
Been
don't,
like
that.
They don't
though.
Have like, but those celebrity names don't do a whole bunch. Like, I mean, it was Angelina Jolie and Jackie Chan.
You mean
and,
kids don't want to see Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah, right. Who were the other? It was
Lucy
Seth Rogen.
Lou.
Was
Lucy
a,
Liu.
Was a grasshopper at one
point. Brian Cranston.
Yeah. Ooh.
David Cross. Kate Hudson.
So, speaking of Brian Cranston, I just rewatched Batman Year One, the animated feature.
Yeah.
Make that guy Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
People have done really good Photoshops where they make him look like Gordon, and it's like really artistic. I mean, amazing photo. I'll send it to you.
He was fan. Like, that cartoon.
He looks amazing when they make him look like him, too, though.
Like, I don't know why that isn't, why Warner Brothers isn't like, just here.
He would have been a good Lex Luthor, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That would have been
you
a good
better than Jesse Eisenberg.
I don't know. I can't
we
say yet,
we
but
don't know yet.
But he would have made a good one.
Yo, yeah, if they, yeah, yeah. absolutely. But yeah,
and I say that because I trust Jesse Eisenberg, not because I trust Zack
Snyder.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Kung Fu Panda has at least recouped most of its budget at this point. So we'll see how that drops over the coming weeks. Number two, Hail Caesar, opened this weekend.
Oh,
$11.6 million. So, I mean, not a...
I don't know, for a Coen Brothers movie?
Yeah, it's a $22 million budget, so they are kind of more of an, I wouldn't say indie at this point, but I wouldn't say art house either. They're just quirky?
I haven't seen the movie. I really want to see the movie, but it definitely looks like they kind of...
Go back to their roots?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I think the response has been like, yeah, it's back to the roots.
But it's also... It's intermittently funny. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And it goes back to roots, though, of like, you got to look like Hudsucker
Proxy. Hudsucker Proxy and Raising Arizona never quite reaches the heights of the... Well, Fargo was a little darker. Was more like Raising Arizona meets Blood Simple. But
right.
Okay.
This doesn't have the violent aspect of it.
Better than Lady Killers?
You know, I haven't seen Lady Killers. So I would say that it's a minor work from the Coen brothers, but it's probably of their minor works, one of their better minor works, if that makes sense. But there were parts of the movie that I thought were really good. But I never really like laughed out loud. I smile a lot, and at some points my smile was bigger than others.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Was I still with you at the screening?
Yeah.
Did you pull the popcorn trick?
I just finished season I just finished season two of Fargo. And it's like, I forgot how, like, because that is, like, Fargo season one and two, like, is so reminiscent of the early stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I forgot how much I liked that early stuff.
Yeah.
And this one, like, this one looked like it could go back to that kind of.
I think the real discovery in the movie is there's a character named Hobie. He's like a singing cowboy, kind of a Gene Autry type. And he's played by an up-and-comer named, let's see if I can say this right, Alden Aaron Reich.
Okay.
And that kid, I think, is the real deal.
Oh, really?
He steals the movie.
Really?
He positively steals the movie. And Channing Tatum comes close to stealing the movie until Alden Aaron Reich shows
up. Tatum's like, God damn it.
Yeah. And the Channing Tatum scenes are great, especially the big musical number that you see the clips of in the, like,
in the Navy suit.
And doing like a Gene Kelly type thing.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch them do like their movie genres, like kind of take on different genres, but one of my complaints though is that when they would do that, they didn't change the way the film looked, and I mean like the physical film. I know there is no physical film for the most part, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, like a movie within a movie,
right? When they would do the movie within a movie, it still looked like everything else in the movie, so they wouldn't switch to like.
Like
when they wouldn't make it look like CinemaScope when they were doing their big prestige. Hail Caesar is the name of the big movie that they're making.
Okay. Right.
And so it's kind of like a Ben-Hur type movie. And it would have been real easy to switch to like CinemaScope and have it be real. And like, or, you know, or when they were doing the dancing movie, that, you know, there's like an Esther Williams like swimming type thing.
Okay.
Is that the second time that they've done that? Or am I thinking they did a Busby Berkeley kind of a thing?
Berkeley and Big Lebowski. Yeah.
Old timey reference.
Yeah. That's a really old timey reference.
Yeah, we're not even going to explain
it. That's old timey even for us. Like, no, someone had to explain it to us. So,
yeah.
We did not live through that one. But Esther Williams made these movies where they were like lots of like fancy swimming, like synchronized swimming, but like with the circles of people.
Didn't
they get
like
aerial
in a Muppet
shots.
Movie?
Yeah,
didn't
they kind of they did one in Great Muppet.
Yeah, Cooper,
they replicated that. In
right. Yeah, it gets referenced a lot in movies, but that's who did it originally.
Okay.
So that there's a scene like that. So there, you know, but I wish it would have made them look more like the films of that era in terms of the film stock.
I hear you.
Right. So, but anyway, that was Hail Caesar.
Cool. How was Clooney in it?
Oh, he was fine. He was mugging for the camera, but that's what
they
wanted.
He's doing his Clooney thing.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. That one had a $22 million budget, so, you know, not too much to recoup there, 11.6 in the first week. Number three, Star Wars The Force Awakens. I think it's kind of claimed that third place spot. You've got these new movies coming out, but I think Star Wars is pretty much saying, I'm just going to stick here at number three.
I'm actually seeing people still being like, going to see Star Wars, like on my Facebook feed, like checking in at Star Wars. Like, my dad just saw it, and he was, God love him. I'm trying to explain him who we think Rey is.
Right.
Yeah. I just couldn't get it. Like, there was just no, he was just like, wait, I thought Darth Vader was Luke's father. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just going to sit you down and look you in the face. Be like, look, this is who she is.
Joe's like, I have a brief PowerPoint presentation.
Right? Yeah.
I could get 10 minutes of your time. Yeah.
If I told you about Rey lately.
So Star Wars brought in $6.6 million, a 41% drop in week 8. I believe it crossed the $1 billion mark foreign. And
two.
billion.
You meant
foreign? Yeah,
gotcha.
It's a little bit over 1 billion foreign, and it's at 900 million domestic. So yeah, I think it's at like it either just did or is about to cross 2 billion worldwide. Right now, before the weekend, I've got 1.998 billion. So. It's,
my dad just tipped it over to $2
billion. Yeah, it's just... how many tickets did he buy?
He bought $200,000.
Yeah, that's still $2 million.
He had to see the movie multiple times to understand right. what was going
he
on.
He likes the privacy of the theater.
Yeah, right.
So you know, if you do IMAX and 3D, they really get you.
Is it $2 million?
Yep. Yeah.
It is.
Oh, wow.
It is.
Yeah. Wow, your dad... Ask him if he'd like to buy an advertisement on the show.
Here's a dirty little secret. Only 6 people have actually seen Star Wars.
They
just all in IMAX and 3D.
Jeez, that's why they do it. That's why they keep pumping those out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 4, The Revenant brought in $6.5 million. It's a 49% drop in week 7. I didn't realize that had been out. So I guess like 5 weeks wide release.
Well, yeah, because it opened in New York and LA like 2 weeks before it opened.
7 weeks. It just sounds like a long time, but that had a $135 million budget, as we know. But it's made over $145 million domestic, and actually just over $145 million foreign. So it's up around $300 million worldwide, over double its budget now.
Boy, it's funny because I just don't see this as a movie that would do this kind of box office.
Nope. Yeah.
But on the flip side, they spent $125 million to make this movie. So, someone thought it could generate that kind of revenue.
They wanted it.
You know what's funny is
the
like
revenue. That's what they should have done.
Revenue.
I've talked to people, and everybody's like, who I've talked to, they're like, oh, wow, it was amazing. I go, yeah, but really there's not much to it. They're like, yeah.
Yeah, there really isn't. Like, it's really not. Like, it's almost looking at, like, a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is told through the art rather than through the words.
Right.
You know like, that's the best way I could describe it.
Okay, so there are movies like Terrence Malick movies and Sofia Coppola movies that are boring as and terrible. They look
They're stunning.
They look good, but they are so boring. Whereas this movie looked beautiful, but I was into it. You know,
yeah.
So like, I feel like if you're gonna make an artistic movie, like this guy knows how to do it and make it look good, but still have the action. Like the action scenes were excellent, but some of those other movies are just like, God, I know you're trying to make a 3-hour piece of art, but. If you know what I mean, but like put that up at a gallery somewhere. Yeah. It's not a film.
But nothing happens.
Yeah, you can entertain me too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know it's kind of sacrilege for
I'm not saying I need Captain America in every scene, but maybe one.
Yeah, it's just like that Somewhere movie. Did you ever see that? Or I know I told you, but that Somewhere where he drives around the racetrack for like a stagnant shot for like 8 minutes straight, which was like a.
It sounds like the Brown Bunny.
I'm sure it was paying homage to that because you told me about
why
that.
Why would you pay homage to the Brown Bunny?
I don't know why, but it was that same shot.
And if you're going to pay homage to the Brown Bunny, the blowjob scene.
Yeah. Right.
Go with the blowjob scene.
Yeah. Right.
Of all the scenes we're going to go with.
Yeah, if you're going to double down on the Brown Bunny, it starts and ends with the blowjob.
Right.
Like, that's...
So,
it was like, I think... I
shouldn't have to tell people.
No, you shouldn't. Death Proof was kind of like that.
There's a blowjob scene in Death Proof?
Oh, yeah. You didn't see it?
That's cool.
It's the director's cut.
Yeah.
No. But like that whole... Like,
no, he was uncut. That was
unless he was
that
Gentile.
That whole movie builds up to like the last 20 minutes where there's no talking at all. Like it's all Zoe Bell in the front of that car.
Yeah.
And it's like it's her.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. I like that movie a lot, but I can see where people are like, come on.
That's,
but
they use
totally
talking in the first hour and 20
right,
minutes.
Right.
I mean,
there's no talking.
The problem with that, there are moments where Tarantino is too in love with his own dialogue.
I would agree with that.
And it's like, yeah.
That's why I don't like that movie. It's just, I love Tarantino dialogue in general, and like Pulp Fiction, The Hateful Eight was awesome. Like, that was well done. That movie just bores the crap out of me.
I don't know.
Like,
to me,
okay.
Like, that last 20 minutes makes up for everything.
I know, but yeah, that first over half is just like, okay, we get it. Like, they're girls talking.
Plus, you get to look at Rosario Dawson, so... Oh. That's a win.
Let's put it on mute, I guess.
Yeah. I can do that in Clerks too.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, The Revenant making quite a bit of money. I know at first we were kind of thinking, okay, this is going to be kind of an Oscar bait film. I mean, it was a good film, but probably won't make a ton of money. But with over $300 million now and still going
strong, that's legit.
It's actually making.
He did Birdman too, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that didn't do anywhere near this kind of money.
I mean, that was a big hit, it was but it wasn't this.
That right, was a okay. huge success around Oscar time. It was yeah. another one that got the buzz.
Okay.
Birdman ended up making $103 million worldwide.
Well, they probably shot it for, what, 10?
18.
Yeah,
18.
Yeah.
So
right.
103 on
it's
an 18.
It's a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah. yes. No.
Blumhouse was 7. Yeah, yeah, right. 18. 7 million. Yeah, right,
we
right.
can't go
yeah,
over 18. 10.
Yeah, I was saying, that'd be like 7.
Yeah. That is like if they got Michael Bay to do a Blumhouse movie. It's like, okay, Michael, let's be careful here. We're going to give you 18, but let's, you know.
He did that.
And but we expect you to come back with 17 movies.
Yeah. Oh, man. So anyway, yeah, Revenant doing quite well.
Although, given the length of the last Transformers movie, he was well on his way.
They just decided.
Transformers.
Did you see the Vin Diesel announced like the next three?
Yeah.
The last three, I guess.
Eight, yeah. 9, and 10.
Eight,
yeah.
9, and 10. It's going to be like a Thailand prison movie, apparently.
Like gonna they're be gonna, prison break?
They're going to be trying to get, I guess, somebody out of prison in Thailand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Vin Diesel gets arrested with a ladyboy.
No.
Is that what goes on?
Yeah, that's exactly
Is
what happens.
Is that the plot of the movie?
Whoops.
I made a terrible mistake.
Nice. Speaking of choices, The Choice is number 5, first weekend here. $5.5 million. Did anyone see that?
No, thankfully.
Chose What's that?
That it's like a Nicholas Sparks.
It's the new Nicholas Sparks yeah. movie.
Oh.
I saw someone say that, like, oh, bring extra Kleenex. I never know if that means they're extra sad or extra sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know. What was the one with Scott Eastwood that we saw?
The
longest ride.
Longest
that
ride.
That one did have a pretty sexy scene in it where it was like, wow, that was all right. They didn't really leave much to the imagination.
Did she ever ride him for more than 8 seconds? What
no.
was the outcome?
That's
no.
his fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's his fault.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Be Arthur naked on a cold day.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't think about baseball because I wouldn't know enough to think about. I don't know enough about sports to think that long, and then I would just run out of things.
You're
and
like,
then
it's oh. like,
and then the even weirder thing is like the only thing I really know about baseball
uh-huh.
is the Bad News Bears. And so now
oh,
I'm having
no,
sex.
Not
that's not
again.
So bad. Now,
no.
and now I'm thinking about like 9-year-old boys. No. Like, I can't do that.
Walter Matthau.
Yeah. again.
then I go to Watchmen, and then it gets even
right.
worse.
You just got to connect it. Walter Matthau,
see,
Billy Bob Thornton, Angelina Jolie. Like,
I mean,
just if you're
making
see,
that.
It ladders back to your wiener.
Yeah, yeah. It's always back to your wiener.
Yeah.
This is probably how was it John Hinckley got started.
How?
Because Jodie Foster
yeah.
was the pitcher
yeah.
for the Bad News Bears.
Oh,
see?
Oh, yeah.
He was thinking about baseball, didn't know a lot about sports,
no.
and thought
trouble.
About the Bad
no.
News Bears, and then he got fixated, then he busted on Jodie
no,
Foster.
No, it was Ryan O'Neal. Tatum O'Neal.
What?
There's Tatum
O'Neal. O'Neal was the pitcher in Bad
yeah,
News Bears.
Yeah, your girl.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Joe, you know what? I think Jodie Foster was the pitcher on the TV show.
Oh.
Oh, really? There was a Bad News Bears TV show?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember if she was or not.
It was about as successful as you would expect.
Was she
Wait, how often was Walter Matthau in these? Was he in all of them?
No, he was just in the first one.
So who was in the second two?
Oh, God. The second two, it was the guy. Was it William Devane?
Yes.
And he played Kelly Leak's father in the second one.
Yeah. Okay.
And then in the third one.
That was the one where they go to Japan?
Yes. And that was
breaking training and then go to Japan.
And then Bad News okay. Bears goes to Japan. And that one was Tony Curtis.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was really bad.
Did he play Buttermaker?
No. It was never like the same character, but it was like an adult
I see.
Filled that role. And
but Jackie Earle Haley was in all three.
Jackie Earle Haley was in all
he
three.
He was the connector.
Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. And then on the TV show, Jack Warden played Buttermaker.
Okay.
But
so the
Jodie
TV
Foster
show
was not on it. I was thinking of Jodie Foster played Tatum O'Neal's role in the TV version of Paper Moon.
Yes.
Oh,
there
okay.
Yeah, because I was like,
okay.
I knew she played Tatum O'Neal
here.
At some point.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, anyway.
That was the first time I've ever seen a movie, and the like, spoilers, they lose. But I was like, oh, they lost.
It was a moral victory.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the 70s.
Was like,
think about it. The two biggest sports movies
yeah.
of the 70s.
That's very good.
They lose.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Rocky
loses and
yeah.
Bad News Bears.
And Brian's song, I guess, if you want to.
I mean, he does. I mean, he loses his life, right?
Yeah. I would call that losing.
That's losing. I guess that's true. Was that James Caan?
James Caan and,
and
Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams.
Lando.
Poor Lando.
Well.
Harvey Dent.
So, The Choice allegedly had a $10 million budget. And it made $5.5 million. So
who's
in
it? Anybody of note?
It depends. Benjamin Walker, Teresa Palmer, Maggie Grace.
Maggie Grace, I know. Maggie Grace was in Taken.
Oh,
she's the daughter in Taken.
Alexandra Daddario, Tom Welling.
Maggie Grace.
Hey,
cannot.
Superman.
Tom Welling.
Speaking of Tom Welling, did you see that he? They asked him. They're like, "What do you? Would you do it? Would you come back to Supergirl?" And he was like, "I mean, I wouldn't not do it. Like, it's you know, he's
I don't know. Does like, it coincide with my Comic-Con appearances?"
Yeah,
they actually just announced that they're going to do the crossing over.
Yeah, Flash,
Flash
is going to be
Supergirl are crossing
That's
over.
That's interesting, being different companies that they actually.
Well, not different
Constantine
companies.
Constantine was on
Arrow. Yeah, CW.
It's all Greg Berlanti though. Like,
but
Greg Berlanti
the production companies are the same. But I think CBS owns the CW.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's why that because Tom Welling just signed a deal with CBS.
Yeah.
So they were like,
that's cool. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Well, there you go. So number six, the movie of the day, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, $5.1 million.
Oh wow!
So, swing and a miss.
Yeah, on a $28 million budget. I can't believe this movie had a $28 million. I can't believe they gave this movie a $28 million.
What did they give? What was
the last one?
No.
Vampire Hunter.
Oh yeah, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah,
Vampire Hunter.
Because it's the same type of book that they're based on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
$69 million, and it made $116 million worldwide.
That movie was awful too.
So
yeah,
that book was fun, but that movie was awful. That's why the same guy that did Daybreak and
Daywatch
and Night
Wanted.
Watch. Yeah, Wanted was not good either.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, he should stay within his own wheelhouse.
Timur Bekmambetov.
He's an amazing director.
Easy for you to say,
and he should stay. Like,
yeah.
As soon as I saw him attached to Abraham Lincoln, I was like, oh,
yeah.
Don't, no. Night Watch is amazing. Day Watch is awesome.
Yeah.
He's better off
sticking
with Wanted.
Thing.
He brought his style to that, but.
That was one of the first times where they took like a property where I was like, what are you doing? Like, you've gone so far off the...
Like, why'd you pay for it?
Yeah.
Like, why'd you pay for the rights?
You didn't even make the movie.
And you paid for the rights to something that the average person had never heard of.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they
and
changed...
And they didn't make it.
They changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the,
yeah.
Like,
well,
there were
some references, but like...
They're very... It is loosely based on that comic book.
It made $341 million on a $75 million budget.
I think that's also when Angelina Jolie was kind of at her... Yeah.
So it made like five times
height.
Its budget, so it worked at least for them.
That was the first... That's the first Mark Miller venture into film.
And that was when he was like, I'm making my own. You people don't know how to do it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it was Wanted, and then I guess Kick-Ass
was next, right? And he was just like, he saw
Kick-Ass
Wanted,
awesome.
He was like, no, we're not doing this twice. He's like, I'd rather make a third the money and just make it right.
Yeah.
Kingsman's Mark Miller, too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
God, that movie was so good.
He saw everything. I think out of all, with the exception of Stan Lee and like whoever artist he's worked with, Mark Miller has the most properties out there in film. I mean, he's got everything he's done independently is optioned everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing he hasn't done yet. Yeah. They just, I mean, he had one that the comic hadn't even come out yet, and they were like, "Here's your movie deal."
Yeah,
like Chrononauts. That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, it's like that with authors. I mean, Stephen King. If he wants a movie deal, they'll give him.
Yeah,
one
if you
want to
buy it up, before it gets.
Which I just find it interesting that like this guy, like he was kind of on the decline, and then he started.
I think The Martian actually sold his book and movie deal at the same time.
Oh, really?
Because he started, like...
It was like a blog or something,
it was like a website blog, and then people were like, could you put this on the Kindle Amazon store because it's just easier to read that way? And he's like, sure. And then you can't make stuff free, so you had to charge for something, so he made it like $2, and then it just blew up. And then people showed up and were like, we would like to buy this as a real book. And I'm reading a book right now called Wool.
W-O-O-L?
Yes.
Okay.
Still don't know why it's called that, but it's
surprising.
Really good. It reminds me a lot of Lost, like the good parts.
Don't say that in front of Dan.
But
Monster Squad sucks.
But
Shots fired.
Here we go. But it reminds me a lot of Lost, in a good way. And I haven't got to the end yet, but it'll be interesting to see if it sticks to the landing. But so far, it's been really good.
Awesome.
And it's about these people that like live in a silo that's like underground, and you can't go outside because something has happened. And
it sounds like that. What was
Cloverfield?
Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
And they've been in the silo so long that they don't know why they're in the silo. They've been in the silo for generations.
Sounds like the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, too.
Yeah, well,
blast from the past.
But it's more just about like what's going, like what it, you know, and like
interesting.
And like there's people that are controlling the information.
Is it like a family or is it a community?
No, it's a community. There are thousands of people that live in the silo.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's going to be a spool of wool inside of a snow globe, and they're going to go wool at the end.
That was gonna
why.
Damn it.
That's why.
So it was from the people that made Lost
and Citizen Kane
and Krampus
and Krampus.
But it's been really good. There's like three of them. So I'm almost done with the first one, but it's been really good. It's
sweet.
Called Wall, nice. And it's in the Kindle store. It's like $7 or something.
I think A Few Good Men was optioned as a film before the play came
before out. The play opened.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And this guy that wrote Wall, I think it's been optioned for a movie, and he signed a book deal, and I thought this was interesting. He signed a book deal for like paper rights only, so the publisher only has the rights to print the book. He retained the digital.
That's going to be it has to be a new thing.
So the publisher will make $7.
Yeah.
And
he's going to make $700 million.
Yeah.
Like, and that has to be the new thing though, right?
Well, like, especially because you figure like going forward, like you're going to sell fewer and fewer hard copies of books. You just are. And so like, yeah, that's like signing the deal in like 19. It's like if Led Zeppelin signed their deal and like 8-track only.
Right.
We're selling you the rights to the 8-tracks only.
Well, here's something, and this is something I wish publishers would consider, because I mean, it's so, you see it with media, is that all paper publishing should just come with a digital download.
Yeah,
that's like, what
give me
do.
The digital version,
just
of
just like movies
of the book.
That come with the digital download. Yeah. I agree. Just give it. If you've already bought it, there's no reason you should have to buy
so,
two.
I just don't want to like carry it around all the time.
Marvel,
or like
Marvel will do that. Marvel and all of their comic books from now, like
me.
As soon as they went digital, if you bought a paper copy or a hard copy of the comic, they had a digital
code
in there in the book.
That's great.
DC, on the other hand, charges you, like, if you can buy the standard $3.99 book. If you want the digital copy, you buy and you want the hard copy as well, it's $4.99.
The nickel and dime.
And I was like, no. You've screwed me over enough.
But
Rebirth.
I agree. You shouldn't have to buy 15 copies of the same thing. I mean, if you've already owned
unless it's Back to the Future.
Well, it's different if they release like new things with it or whatever. But if it's the exact same item, you know, I think that they shouldn't try to get two purchases out of you. But we'll get into Pride and Prejudice and Zombies next time.
It had zombies in it.
Yeah, it was in focus, but I don't want to spoil too much of the positives in it, so let me just get back to this here. Number 7, The Finest Hours. That's in its second week, made $4.5 million. That's a 56% drop, up to $18.1 million now.
It's the remake of that Coast Guard movie.
Yeah, it's just like the Kevin Costner, Ashton Kutcher one, where they have to save a boat.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's just cribbing off all those.
Was there a Clooney one, too, out of curiosity? Wasn't there a Clooney one where he was...
He was a fisherman.
Was that The Perfect Storm?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, it was on the water, and they had boats. It may as well be a knockoff.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. It was a Coast Guard movie. Never mind.
That's unbelievable. Come on, Hollywood.
Number 8, Ride Along 2, with $4.1 million, a 51% drop in week 4. It's up to $76 million domestic now, adding another $18 million. They're up to a little over $90 million worldwide, so that was on a $40 million budget. And let's see here. Number 9, Dirty Grandpa. I know Joe's happy to see still in the top 10.
You know what? It makes me feel good to know that next week, it's going to get knocked out of the top 10.
I heard they're going to do a sequel with Adam Sandler.
Oh, God. Just shoot me now. Like, just shoot me.
So that made $26.6 million domestic so far. I can't remember what we found out the budget was on that one. It was like 30
or
something
wasn't
like that.
Insane.
But
it was like 30 million and...
30.9, right?
And his soul.
Yeah.
And his soul.
De Niro's or...
What's that?
De Niro's soul?
De Niro's soul.
Yeah, okay.
And the soul of anyone who saw the film.
Oh, crap.
Guess we're out of luck.
Yeah.
Do we know how many more Adam Sandler Netflix movies?
He signed
a six picture deal. So there's five more. The next one's already been shot. It stars David Spade. And David Spade.
So Adam Sandler's not the star?
No, it's David Spade and Adam Sandler.
Oh.
And David Spade,
that's the buddy cop movie I want to see.
It's called, I think it's called Do Over. And David Spade plays like a banker, stick up his butt kind of guy.
Okay.
And Adam Sandler is like a guy he knew in high school, but not all that well. And he's like, you should just do your life over. You're not happy. And so Adam Sandler abducts him and they like go on the road together.
Oh, Christ.
So here's the good thing about this Netflix deal.
We don't have to see them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless you actually go to Netflix, and you really you don't even have to like see the advertising.
But here's the dirty little secret that the Regretful Six, what's it called?
Ridiculous Six.
Is that it?
Ridiculous Six is, I believe, the most viewed thing in the history of Netflix, like, of their original programming.
They know what they're doing.
It hurts my heart.
Those guys are smart. I mean, you got to realize Netflix has had all these original programming deals. They have these original movies now, and they're signing people up. They're making money. They're not stupid. So someone there knew that as bad as these movies are, people are going to flock to them because it's free. They've already got Netflix, so why not watch an Adam Sandler movie?
And it's great timing for Adam Sandler. If Netflix existed in like 1971, it's the same the deal Jerry Lewis would have signed.
Oh, that's true. That makes sense.
Right when he was trying to open his, he opened a chain of theaters. Do you know that?
There
was Jerry Lewis Theater. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. There was one in St. Louis, I think, in Creve Coeur for a while. It was Jerry Lewis Theaters. And he was like, I'm going to open up a chain of theaters, and it's going to be just family-friendly films.
Or movies by me.
Yeah, or movies by me. And it was like, it was just the worst timing ever, because it was right when, like, cinema was like, you know, Godfather, Serpico, like it
not
was like
family friendly,
no family friendly anything, and it was, you know, America's biggest child star was Jodie Foster playing a prostitute, you know, and it was like you can't, and it was
at least he had his comic appearances with Batman, right?
On the cartoon?
No, in the comics, Jerry Lewis and Batman would be in comic books.
I mean, there was a Jerry Lewis comic for a while. Was there? Did he cross over with Batman?
Yeah, he crossed over with Batman. Yeah.
Was it for muscular dystrophy?
No, it was just.
Were they fighting muscular dystrophy together?
They made a new Batman villain.
It was
muscular dystrophy, and they would punch it right in the face.
It was wacky. The covers would just be like,
what would you punch a muscular dystrophy in?
You try not to, honestly.
You try not to, right. Like, that would be
politically incorrect. Don't do that.
Jerry Lewis had, I've never seen it, and I want to see it so bad. Not the Day the Clown Cried, although I want to see that, and we're going to get to eventually, apparently. But
are we going to be alive still, or when does that?
That he signed some sort of deal that it's like in another 5 years or whatever will come out finally. But he did this thing on the Jerry Lewis Telethon, and I've read about it in like 1967 or something, and it was he did like a one man monologue about muscular dystrophy where he played the physical incarnation of muscular dystrophy. Not like he was like crippled like a kid. Can't say crippled. I'm talking about 1967.
Yeah,
you can say crippled then.
It's fine.
But he was supposed to be like, I'm muscular dystrophy and I hate children. And I'm just like, that sounds so delightfully awful. like about once a month I search on YouTube for that.
Okay, so he wasn't, it was a Jerry Lewis comic.
This is Jerry Lewis
starring Batman and Robin. Okay.
But first of all, it was a Jerry Lewis comic.
That is like, there was a Bob Hope comic. Golden Key used
Abbott
to
Costello.
Do.
Abbott Costello.
And look at this. Superman meets Jerry Lewis.
Why not?
Oh,
everything else was, you know. That'll work.
That was a weird
time for DC Comics.
Yeah.
Trying to avoid that comic code. That's what that was.
Yes.
And moving on from Jerry Lewis news, number 10, The Boy. Is that the mannequin or the creepy
mannequin movie?
It's a creepy mannequin movie.
Third week in release, it made $3.7 million, a 51% drop. It's up to $26 million domestic, no foreign, and that was on a $10 million budget, so we know it wasn't Blumhouse.
It was not. Nope. I'll catch it at some point. So. That's kind of the way I feel about that one. I'll grab it.
I kind of want to see it, I think. I don't know.
I do.
Mannequins, mannequins, ventriloquist dummies, clowns.
Did you see Dead Silence?
Yeah,
that's
a little bit.
That's a little James. James Wan after Saw.
Okay, so you know what? It was the year that came out is the year I did the Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios.
Yeah,
and that was one of the houses.
Not gonna
and
happen.
Ventriloquist dummies, and I walk into a room and there's like stacks of them. There's like 40 stacked up, and they. As you walk by, they all turn their head.
Nope.
And they kind of make people go one at a time, and I'm like, well, this sucks. This is like,
And I'd look, and I'm like, oh, damn it. He, I'd walk a little more, like, all right, I gotta get out of here.
You know, yeah. Dan, I think maybe Mickey's not so scary Halloween party is more your speed. I think you need to stick to the Disney
it's
World.
It's just the Disney World, those
Universal Horror Nights and, can yeah. get, like, oh, Rob are, Zombie did one at one point.
They're actually really well done. There was one where they, like, had it, it was like you were supposed to be outside, and it, they had it snowing inside the soundstage.
Those can be intense.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Disney makes it snow.
Yeah.
It's, all right.
Where?
Outside.
Oh, well.
Just snows on the street. For real.
It's like
for Halloween Horror Nights?
No, not for Halloween Horror Nights. That would make no sense. Why would it snow on Halloween?
Exactly.
Where are you trick-or-treating in Alaska? Why would you? What does that make any sense?
Well,
is it snowing blood?
At Disney?
Is it? No, it's your Universal. Well, who's on first? I don't know. Third base. It's just, if it's snowing kidneys, then that's Halloween, right?
Right.
Yeah. Is this a spleen? Ooh, what's gross. Going on?
That's a splatter.
That's the box office.
There we go. That's what you say when you're done. You don't get to make fun of me for not knowing the episode numbers anymore. So.
I was waiting for that terrific.
That terrific what?
Oh.
So anywho. So that's the box office report.
Our guest just left.
Yeah, I know. The next one's waiting here, and she's like, what have I done? So we will go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you, and we will chime in with wonderful stories like Dan's raining kidneys and spleens. Well, he saw, I took it to the kidneys.
Yeah, I was just talking about
snow.
Yeah. So you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, or you can find us on iTunes and rate and review and subscribe. We really appreciate it. It helps us a lot. Or you can join the League of Show Sharers. And while you're on the Facebook, just click the little share button. Maybe write a little note to let all your friends know why you enjoy the show, because we would like to know too.
We had some good interaction with our deep fried tacos from last week.
That's true. People enjoy the deep fried tacos. Yeah. So they're not good for you, but
they taste so good
sometimes. So anyway, those are all the places you can find us if you just can't wait till the next episode. So coming up on the next episode, it will be Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Ooh.
So which were you more scared of, the Pride and Prejudice or the Zombies?
After this movie. Just in its entirety.
Well, wasn't the next one Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters?
And Sea Monsters. Yes. No, for real.
That's a real thing.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's not joking. That's a real thing.
I'm sure you won't like it because they won't look like the freaking creature from the Black Lagoon like they're supposed to.
No,
so
I
Dan's
won't.
Gonna bitch about
I
it.
I won't. What if?
I will.
Hang on. What if Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters? What if it looked like Sigmund the Sea Monster?
I could get it behind that. Yeah. Johnny Whitaker?
I would think it was Seals and Crofts. What they were like God. Light rock. Oof. What was the name? Marty Croft.
Sid Marty Croft.
So there we go.
Yeah. H.R. Puffin stuff, Lidsville, the Bugaloos.
More old-timey references.
Electro Woman and Dyna Girl. All these shows you should look up on YouTube.
To put it in perspective, Newzoo Review was like a poor man's H.R. Puffin stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like a homeless kid.
We talked about Newzoo.
Right. I was trying to give you a point of reference that you now know.
Yeah.
So Newzoo Review was like the poor man's H.R. Puffin.
Wait, wait.
They longed to be H.R. Puffin.
And you've seen H.R. Puffin stuff.
H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah.
So. Spider. No.
That's the electric company.
Electric company. Yeah.
So anyway, next episode, Pride and Prejudice and Zombie. Thanks for listening. Until next time, you've been warned.
Sigmund, you are a rotten sea monster.
Sigmund, you're through.
Scram, get out of here. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.